Good evening, everyone. I'm going to talk about a few things, talking about believing in God, believing the Bible is the Word of God, knowing why Christ died, what God's plan is for you. Before I start, I'll just ask God to help me and to help Justice and Dad. Our Father in heaven, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for sending your son to pay the price of all the sins in the world so that everyone can have a relationship with you. Just help us be clear, just that it would be straight from the Word of God, that we wouldn't say anything that's not true, that you would just give us help, and that someone who does not have a relationship with you, that would change for them. I pray this all in your precious and your holy name. Amen. Hey, so believing in God, believing the Bible is the Word of God, knowing why Christ died, and what is God's plan for you. First off, believing in God. Some people think that God is just an idea. I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He said that God is just simply a pocket of scientific ignorance. So everything that science can't prove yet, that's just what God is. That's what he says that we believe. That eventually we will discover that nothing exploded and created everything from us, our feelings, our thoughts, everything about us as humans, animals, stars, snowflakes, you name it, everything. But we, on the other hand, we believe that there was a designer. We believe that there was a designer that was outside, I think Ian spoke on this in ministry, that there was a designer outside of time, space, and matter who created time, space, and matter. We believe that everything was designed for a purpose, and I'll be talking about that purpose later. So he built into us the ability to choose him or to not choose him, because he wanted a relationship. There has to be a choice if you're going to have a relationship. So that leads me to John 3 and 36. John 3 and 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." Eternal life with the Creator, the one who created us. "But he who does not obey the Son, he who does not believe, will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So those are the two choices. God created us with the ability to make decisions. That leads me to my next thought, believing in God's Word. If you believe in God, next, believing in God's Word. The Bible is written by over 40 authors, from kings to shepherds to fishermen. It is written over, around 2,000 years. It is completely consistent. There are no contradictions. It is an amazing book. If you even didn't believe in God, you could learn infinite things that will help you in life. There are prophecies. There are hundreds to thousands of prophecies that are fulfilled in the Bible. That includes prophecies of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they're not just very vague. They're specific in detail. There are some prophecies that were around 1,000 years before Christ that were fulfilled by him. He fulfilled over 300 prophecies when he was on this earth. And the discovery never ends. There are people who have studied the Word of God for 90 years, and they're still, every time they read, something new pops in. It is an amazing book. I'll get you guys to turn to Psalm 22 and Matthew 27, and I'll do a little prophecy and fulfillment. I'll just show you guys just between two chapters, just to show you a little bit of just how amazing this book is and how clear it is that it's God's Word. Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Which means, why have you abandoned me? In Matthew 27 and verse 46 is the fulfillment. It says, about the ninth hour, this is during the crucifixion, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, I think, Greek or something, or Hebrew, for my God, why have you forsaken me? So David prophesied and Jesus fulfilled. Verse 7 of Psalm 22 says, all who see me sneer at me. They separate their lip, or they separate with the lip. They wag their head saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Now back to Matthew 27 and verse 39. It says, and those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, you are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests, along with scribes and elders, these are high up Jewish people, very respectable in their time, they were mocking him and saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Verse number 18 of Psalm 22. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Then we'll go to verse 35 of Matthew 27. Just keep your thumb on the pages. Verse number 35 says, and when they crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. Go back to Psalm 22. It says, verse 16, for the dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. That is a prophecy of the crucifixion. That's what they did when they crucified. They pierced their hands and their feet and hung them up on a cross. Verse 35 says, and when they crucified him, I'll read this little note that's in my Bible that explains what crucifixion is. Crucifixion was a form of punishment that had been passed down to the Romans from Persians and a few other people. Roman crucifixion was a lingering doom by design. Roman executioners had to perfect the art of slow torture while keeping the victim alive. Some victims even lingered until they were eaten alive by birds of prey and wild beasts. Most hung on the cross for days before dying of exhaustion, dehydration, traumatic fever, or most likely, suffocation, when the legs would no longer support the weight of the body. That would make breathing impossible, and they would break the legs, and that would make them, they would die after that. This was unnecessary in Jesus' case because, as you probably know, Jesus willingly laid down his life. He gave up the ghost. The hands were usually nailed through the wrists and the feet through the instep or the Achilles tendon, sometimes one nail for both feet. None of these wounds would be fatal, but their pain would become unbearable as the hours dragged on. There would be a huge amount of disgrace attached. It was humiliating because they would, I believe they didn't have any clothes on. They carried their cross through the city. It was like about 200 pounds. And then four soldiers accompanied them and then hung them up on a cross. That is what Jesus did for you. Jesus went through all of that willingly for you. What is the purpose? God created everything perfect, and he created us for a relationship with him. We turned away from him. We chose to, you know, say our way is better. And because of that, all of us are sinners. All of us turned our own way. As Romans 3 and 23 says, we have all sinned and fallen short of that standard, the standard that God set. And because we are sinners, we can't have a relationship with God. We couldn't pay for our sin because somewhere else in the Bible, I think it's in Isaiah, it says, our good works are just like filthy rags. So, the only thing we could work for is eternal judgment and just separation from our purpose, separated from a relationship with God. The solution is someone paying for our sin. As I said, Jesus went through all that to pay for sin. That is why Jesus Christ was crucified. Sorry, that is why Jesus was crucified. If you do not know Christ, think of it as you're drowning in an ocean. There's sharks all around. You are doomed. There's nothing you can do. But God, in his love and in his grace, threw out a life raft. And it's right there. You have two options. You can try to keep swimming and try to stay afloat forever. Just keep swimming around, which you'd end up drowning. You'd die hypothermia or eaten by sharks or whatever. You're going to die if that's the case, if you're just going to lean on your own strength. That's like leaning on your own faith, leaning on good works, doing good enough, all those things. You're just going to end up dying and nothing, like, eternal judgment is the only thing that will come from that. Your other option, God threw out that life raft. You just trust that that life raft will hold you. Trust in Jesus Christ. He did all the work. Don't lean on yourself. Just lean on Christ. That comes to another point. A relationship with Christ. The most amazing thing that I've experienced, and I continue to experience every single day. It is an amazing thing. You can throw all your stress on him. Anxiety. Financial troubles. I've been having a lot of financial troubles because I'm getting married soon. All these things you can throw to God and be like, your will be done. Please help me with this. And he does. He promises to take care of your stress. A relationship with Christ comes with true joy and true peace. It comes with purpose. You have a purpose. You can go and spread his good news everywhere so that other people can experience it. That's another amazing thing. That's what I'm trying to do right now. Feeding your relationship is a very important thing. Feeding the relationship with Christ. And you can do that by reading this right here. You read the Word of God, and you will just continue learning, and you'll learn new things every day. It will show, like, God shows you what to do through His Word. There's nothing in this life that cannot help you with. You can't just read the Word of God. You have to let it change you. As James 1 says, you got to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. If you just hear the Word and don't do anything about it, you're just like, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror, and just nothing changes. But if you realize, oh, my hair's messed up, you're going to go and get a brush and make it look better. That's one thing, reading God's Word. You can do what it says, and that will give you true joy and peace. Another thing, with a relationship with Christ, you can bring everything to God in prayer. It's an amazing thing, because all your stress, you just cast it on Him. Where's the verse? I'll read in John 14. This is talking about what God has in store for you. If you have a relationship with Christ, once your life is over, this is what Jesus Christ promises to anyone who believes. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, he's asking a question that maybe some of you are asking. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, and he's saying to anyone here who hasn't trusted in Christ and followed him, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the way to peace, to joy, as I was saying. He is the truth, to living in truth. If you want to live truthfully, you want to live in truth. And He's the life. Eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Another thing is, in your relationship with Christ, you need to confess your sin to Him. Anytime you do wrong, you need to say, you just need to confess, Jesus, God, Father, I did wrong. And He will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. That's John 1 and 7, or 1 John 1 and 7. If you don't confess, that is a very bad thing. If you're living in unrepentant sin, if you're living in unconfessed sin, that leads to death. Like, it could be a sign that you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior. It could just be it can lead to worse and worse sin, and it ruins you. These are just things I'm learning. Another thing is casting your burdens on Jesus. Matthew 11, I believe. Verse number 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give to you is light. So he's saying, when you're weary, when you have heavy burdens, say it's financial issues or health issues, or you name it, any problem you're having, he says, come to me. He will give you rest. That's a promise for anyone here, saved or unsaved. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you. So he will teach you how to work through things because he's humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. If you haven't found rest for your soul, trust Christ as your Savior. It is the most amazing thing to know Christ. I've just recently, the last few years, been living truly for Christ. I was saved when I was 6 years old. But for years, I lived like the world, and I was unhappy. I was unhappy, no joy. I was kind of a loser, like a lot of loser. And just in the last few years, it's been amazing to know Christ as my Savior and just to cast all my worries on him. And I just hope if there's anyone here who hasn't trusted Christ, it's the most amazing thing. That is life. When you die, if you don't have that, you have nothing. If you're rich, if you're accomplished, if you won the Olympics, no matter what, you have nothing in the end unless you know Christ as your Savior. And another thing, once you end this life, you'll have like an accomplished life and the Lord will reward you. That's my message. I just pray that anyone who hasn't trusted Christ, that you would, and you would just grow in your relationship with him. May the Lord bless his word.